This is Chris Collinsworth. Be sure to check out the PFF NFL podcast as our experts provide insight on all the league's top stories. Every game, every player, every play. Download and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite provider.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Slant, powered by Pro Football Focus. I'm your usual host, Michael Moore, along with our usual co-hosts, Mets fans Brandon Marionley and Dan Schneier. If you hear yelling or screaming or cursing in the background, don't be afraid. It's just Brandon and Dan cursing either a run given up or a run scored. Or Dan, do we have an update? Is it still 0-0? Are we good?
It's still 0-0 as Drubal almost just cracked a triple down the left field line, if you want a detailed update.
Well, there you go. We do. See, we're going to have people watching this instead of the game. So it's our duty to do that. All right. So we will get into a couple topics, such as quarterback injuries and what to do about them. What is going on with Gronk and Odell Beckham? And then we will get to our studs and duds for week five in a moment. But first, you two, with the game going on, my question to you is, how do you watch your favorite sporting team's games? And I don't mean fantasy, and I don't mean you've got money on it, but just like the Mets. Like, if the Mets are your team, and like, let's say you're either watching on TV or in a bar or at, you know, in the stadium, what do you do? Brandon, you first.
I prefer to be at home. I'm a little bit emotional about what happens, so okay, I don't so like to embarrass myself.
By emotional,
myself.
You mean screaming and jumping and yelling and hitting?
No, opposite. I get really quiet and introverted.
See, okay, so I was going to say, that's exactly what I do. Like, I literally will just shut down. Like, the
shut
first
down.
Time my wife saw a Dodger playoff game and me watch it, she thought there was something wrong with me. Even when they were winning, she's like, are you okay? And I go, I'm fine.
Oh, it's worse, like, when they're winning.
I know, right. Right, because like, you're hanging on every pitch. Like, even at Dodger Stadium in a playoff game, I would just sit there literally with my glove over my hand the whole time. Even if they had a hit or a home run or scored a run, like, no clapping. Like, why would you clap? The game's not over yet. It's a long way away.
I mean, I almost emotionally collapsed inside during the Super Bowl this year because I'm a Broncos fan.
Ooh.
All I kept thinking was, Cam's going to come alive. Cam's going to come alive. Yeah. Like,
you're thinking worst case scenario until it's over.
Oh, man, it was just, every time that Von Miller was a beast, I was like, and especially when you're a defensive team, it's incredibly upsetting because you're like, well, this offense is really good. At some point, they're going to do something. But
Well, and it's nerve-wracking until the very end. Like, for baseball, too, or any other sport besides football, the series, you could be up like 3-0 in a best of seven, and you're still freaking out and having anxiety about it. Dan, what do you do? Do you yell and scream, or do you get real quiet like me and Brandon do?
So I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but I'll just always use my go-to excuse that I get it from my father, even though it doesn't really make too much sense since my brother doesn't act like this. But I'm a pretty loud fan. I get really angry. I get really animated. I get really happy. All the emotions come out when I'm watching usually a football game. I'm more into football than any other sport, and Wisconsin College basketball. But you know what? The things that really bother me aren't really my team doing well or my team doing poorly. It's officiating when it goes wrong.
I'm not going to overdo it,
but I'm not one of those who gets mad at every call or anything like that, and I don't think my team is unluckier than the others. But if an official blows a really important call and it kills a drive, I have automatic sensor that goes off in my brain that I have to get angry at it. And I've been working on it. I've been trying to fix this. And you know what? I'm not always mad at the officials, too, because I've had some incidents. My friends in college call this one the Kareem McKenzie incident, when the Giants were driving in a key game like 4 or 5 years ago, and Kareem McKenzie got a holding call, which actually was a real holding. And it ruined an entire drive, and I went on a little rant about it. I have some issues when it comes to watching games and getting animated. I'm getting a little too angry. I'm working on it. I don't know if I can say I've improved at all, but I understand the problem, and I think that's the first step.
Like, Dan, you're not, like, tracking the refs down after the game, right? And, like, you know, following them home.
Not that, but I did know going into the Giants-Vikings games that last week that Brad Allen's crew called 29 penalties in week two, and I was
very
disappointed to hear that he was the referee for that game.
But you're not bitter about it, so.
Exactly.
Well,
but you would say that they didn't lose because of penalties.
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with the referees.
Okay. All right.
I just want to make sure. I wanted to see how insane you were. I just had to test it.
Yeah, well, I don't even get as mad at the refs blame against my team. It's more just the refs taking over games and making all these calls that they don't need to make. Like, let them play. We don't.
So really, you're just against the refs. You're not really against or against a team. It's just the
refs. We're here to watch the players, not the refs.
Fair enough. Okay. Well, look, if the Dodgers and the Mets end up playing each other, we all might have a problem because we're
that
just all going to be quiet. Well, me and Brandon will be quiet, and then Dan will just be shouting down myself. So. That's okay. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on to the reason we're here, folks. Let's get into week five. First off, we've got some quarterback injuries. It feels like more so this week than other weeks. Let's kick off with Carson Palmer, officially ruled out today with a concussion. Ruled out because, let's face it, he's playing an early game, or Arizona is. So he is out. Drew Stanton is in. Brandon, you know, we've seen some numbers that indicate maybe the Cardinals receivers not so good with Drew Stanton.
Not so good with Drew Stanton is correct. Let's just be honest here. Last week, he completed 4 of his 11 attempts for 37 yards, no touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. It's pretty classic Stanton. So I know John Brown had back-to-back good games. I think that halts. If you're in a PPR league, I'm okay with Larry Fitzgerald as a dart throw, but he certainly isn't a wide receiver one this week. Michael Floyd is oddly not decent this year. You know, I actually didn't really realize this. And, you know, sometimes you lose track of players if there's just one player you never really got somehow. You know, when you're doing research, you're researching everyone, but someone just kind of falls through the cracks. He's only caught 12 of his 31 targets for 170 yards and 2 touchdowns. The 2 touchdowns have saved him, which is why we haven't talked about it. But I'm certainly not depending on him with Drew Stanton.
Yeah, it seems like he's fallen off a cliff. So, Dan, where do we put Drew Stanton this week? Is he even on the streamer radar? I mean, he's playing the 49ers, who, you know, I don't know, maybe middle-of-the-road defense this year so far. They did lose Navarro Bowman for the year. They did lose D. Buckner for at least this game. So, I mean, it's a weakened defense. Can he do anything with that?
So to me, I see the Buckner and Bowman losses as something that's going to impact them more in the run game. And the 49ers are sneakily our second best pass coverage team overall. It's kind of a ridiculous thing that no one would expect at this point. And they're kind of middle of the road as far as pass rush goes. So that makes for a pretty solid defense. This guy, Rashard Robinson, they drafted in the 4th round at LSU. I know no one talks about the 49ers making any kinds of great draft picks, but he's been unbelievable this year. As far as cornerbacks go, he has our 6th best coverage rating this year. So he's going to make plays, I think. And I think Stanton's track record of throwing a lot of interceptions and a lot of turnovers could come up to show its ugly, to rear its ugly head again this week against the 49ers, who to me are a sneaky defensive special teams play. And I couldn't start Stanton in a 3 QB league this week.
Okay. Let's go to another quarterback battling a concussion issue. Cam Newton did not practice today, but he plays on Sunday, so he's got some extra time to get ready. Obviously, if he can't go, Derek Anderson will start in his place. So, Brandon, you know, what does this do for the Carolina offense in general? I mean, they haven't been great so far. They've kind of struggled a bit and are 1-3 on the year. So, you know, I mean, is there – how much of a drop-off, I guess, is there between Cam and Derek Anderson for them?
Well, first of all, it's actually a Monday night game, not a Sunday night game.
Even
so
better.
So good and bad. What that means is that you have to make a decision about Cam before Cam's made a decision. My problem with concussion protocols is that they go in and out. He can say he's definitely going to be okay, and then he can have a setback and he's not playing. So my suggestion to people is this is a great, great matchup. Tampa Bay has given up the 5th most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks in standard settings. It looks like, again, every single wide receiver, there are now 9 wide receivers that have scored touchdowns against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we're in week 5. That's insane. So you have to think that this is going to be a great matchup that you don't want to give up. If you can possibly pick up Derek Anderson and decide right before the game who to start, I would do that. I think it's worth it based on the matchup, because I think that Derek Anderson will be just fine against Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, look at, you know, Trevor Siemian / Paxton Lynch was fine against Tampa Bay. Paxton Lynch hadn't even played in the NFL yet. So I just think that this is too good of a matchup to ignore if you can possibly get Derek Anderson. But if you can't, you will have to go with someone else because you just cannot trust that he's going to be there with a concussion. Concussions are not like other injuries. It can change a drop of a dime.
Dan, you know, Derek Anderson, I mean, he had garbage time last week against the Falcons. He was 17 of 23, 172 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Again, they were being blown out by Atlanta at the time, so you sort of have to take those stats with a grain of salt. But, you know, what do the receivers do with Cam Newton or Derek Anderson there? Because none of them has really, you know, had a good year. I mean, Kelvin Benjamin got off to a pretty good start, and we haven't heard a lot from him the last 2 weeks. So, you know, whether it's Cam or Derek Anderson, is there any chance for a bounce back for Benjamin this week?
So actually what I noticed, which was interesting, when Anderson came into the game, he started right away targeting Devin Funchess. And that shouldn't really be surprising to us because those are the two we're working the most in practice at the beginning of OTAs and training camp before Funchess kind of moved up that depth chart, if he even technically has moved up that depth chart because he's really not – I mean, he's not outside – he split stats with Ginn. There's other guys who work in Philly Brown. So it's like I think that that chemistry was obvious in Anderson's few snaps last week. And I don't think that'll go away, and I think that definitely hurts Benjamin. But I just want to add to one point Brandon makes. I thought it was a really good one. If you own Cam Newton, you shouldn't really have some kind of high upside QB2 on your roster. So that means you can drop him, whoever that may be, for Derek Anderson and not feel bad because worst comes to worst, you're going to have Cam going forward and who's pretty much matchup proof for the most part. So I think that's going to be important to get Anderson going. Like Brandon said, the matchup's too good. But yeah, for me, I don't see a bounce back for Benjamin this week. I never was too high on Benjamin to start the season. I still think he's a lot more of just like a red zone guy and not the most efficient receiver in the NFL. I know he looked that way week one, but we can't go off of week one for everything. So for me, I'm not going back in on him yet.
Okay. One more quarterback to talk about. We had Trevor Siemian injured his non-throwing shoulder. Could be a game time decision for week five. So again, another one of those will he or won't he plays at quarterback. Paxton Lynch, the rookie for Denver, actually did pretty well, I would say. I mean, the knock on him going into the season was he was extremely raw. He was going to need some time to develop, et cetera, et cetera. But in, you know, abbreviated duty, he threw for 170 yards and a touchdown. You know, Brandon, we talked about, I think, Lynch and Siemian and Mark Sanchez, if we all remember, in the preseason. And I think it was obvious to all of us that Lynch obviously is going to be the starter at the end of the season. But how soon does he start? I mean, do they just, you know, throw away Trevor Siemian now and get it over with? Or do they sort of keep playing this charade and keep throwing him out there?
I've actually never thought that Paxton Lynch was definitely going to be the starter at the end of the season. And I don't think that changes now. No, okay. I don't. I think he's the future of the organization. I think they'll try to trade Trevor Siemian, but I don't think they're going to force Siemian out for Paxton Lynch. They're especially not going to do it when they're undefeated. You know, there's just, and after the guy just won the AFC player of the year or of the week in week three, this would be a very weird time to bench Trevor Siemian. They like him in Denver. They've always liked him. This is not a surprise. If you are part of the Denver market and have been listening to the radio or the coaches or what have you, they are big Trevor Siemian fans. He's back at practice. I think they're going to go back to Trevor Siemian maybe this week. You know, it's not his throwing shoulder. He was in a lot of pain the day after, but supposedly the day after that, he felt a lot better. It's just gotten exponentially better. He's a young guy. He's repairing well. I think it'll be fine. So, yeah, I mean, I'm big on whoever starts, but I do have a feeling after today's practice reports that it's going to be Trevor Siemian.
And Dan, another interesting story to this whole quarterback situation in Denver is, you know, some people thought that without Manning and without Osweiler, the receivers there, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, could suffer a bit, but they seemingly aren't. I mean, they're doing actually pretty well in spite of the lack of experience at quarterback. So, you know, does it make a difference really whether it's Lynch or Siemian for either Sanders or Thomas at this point?
No, I don't think it does, because I think what you're seeing in Denver is something that a lot of fans of teams wish they would see with their teams. They're seeing an offense that works through its number one and number two wide receiver. It's not rocket science, but they're not wasting a lot of targets on other players right now. And I think that's really benefited them. And as far as Lynch goes, I don't think there's too much of a drop off, because this is a system that works off the play action pass, obviously, right? And Lynch is making throws that that Simeon can't quite frankly make. Actually, the throw he made, the out pass he made to Thomas last week was like a 17-yard zip strike on the money. Like, I don't think five NFL quarterbacks right now can make that throw. And this is a guy who I watched a lot of his tape at Memphis, and he reminded me of kind of like a young Ben Roethlisberger. This is what I got from him. And he's obviously not there yet, and he won't be there right away, but it's the offense is built for – It's a quarterback-friendly offense, let's put it that way. So, to me, I don't see too much of a drop-off if they have to go from Simeon to Lynch.
And I would agree with that. I just don't think it will be Lynch yet. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I totally agree, though. Look, not a big drop-off.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, you've got to ride the hot hand, really. And if you're undefeated, why change that? why change course in the middle of the season? So, all right, let's move on to a couple of superstars that are struggling. First, we will cover Rob Gronkowski. Hamstring injury still kind of bothering him. I mean, not a great start to the season. He's only played in two games with one reception for 11 yards. You know, Brandon, is this something that we sort of have to wait until Tom Brady comes back to get a better idea of, you know, how good Gronkowski is or how healthy he is? Or is there something there, you know, that we can see now?
I am worried about the reports that his injury is worse than is being let on. I don't know why they would have him play as many snaps as he's been playing if his injury is so bad. But then I also don't know why he'd play so many snaps without getting targets. The whole thing is confusing to me. The New England Patriots, I keep saying that, you know, I like to say week one is the wild, wild west. Well, you know, week five is the wild, wild west for the Patriots. I just have no idea. I do not think that LeGarrette Blount's productivity will take a nosedive the way a lot of other people do. I don't think it's going to be as dire. I think they actually need to spread the ball around and, you know, open up the playbook for Tom Brady by establishing the run. So I don't think he'll get an average of 22 carries a game, but I do think he'll get between 15 and 20. I think that you can still depend on that. As far as Rob Gronkowski is concerned, it's all about his health. There's no reason for them not to target him if he is completely healthy. It just is bizarre. So I am concerned about that. You know, I was in a league where I started Zach Miller over Rob Gronkowski, and then I started Rob Gronkowski over Kyle Rudolph. So I made a good decision and I made a bad decision, but you know, it depends on what your team looks like right now. I think you can start other people, but just be comfortable with Rob Gronkowski blowing up on your bench. But I think I'm at the point where I need to see him blow up on my bench before I start him again. One catch for 11 yards is not going to cut it on this season so far.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Dan, what do you think? I mean, what do people do with Gronk at this point? I mean, a lot of people spent a first round pick on him. And it obviously has not panned out. So, I mean, what do? You let him sort of sit on the bench? Do you see what you can get for him now before it gets any worse?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. There's nothing worse in fantasy than having Rob Gronkowski blow up on your bench. But at the same time, I'm getting to that point where Brandon's at right now where I just can't – I need to see a blow up on my bench before I can throw him back in for another zero-point game. The narrative changed a little bit for me now that Brady's back in the lineup. It's going to be angry Brady, and I actually do buy into that narrative a little bit, at least for the first week, especially since the Patriots are coming off a shutout at home for the first time since the new stadium. So to me, I'm going to actually fall back into the trap, even though I just said I wouldn't, and I would start him again this week if I had owned Gronk, which I don't in any leagues. But I'm going to pivot a little here, and I think that Martellus Bennett actually is being completely underappreciated so far this year in fantasy football. He's had 200 yard games. I'm sorry, in 4 weeks. One of them came with Brissett. He's graded out as Pro Football Focus's number one overall tight end this season. He has the fourth most snaps, and that's continued even when Gronkowski's been back in the lineup. And I don't see that changing because Belichick, over the course of his career, has gotten the best players on the field, and he's turned around the careers, especially for fantasy football purposes, of a lot of cast-off veterans, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, even Matt Castle, somebody like that, who had his best season ever as a Patriot. So I think people are really sleeping on Ben, and I think he's going to be a tight end one the rest of the year with Brady back, and people haven't seen him yet with Brady, really. So I think that I'm going to pivot a little here, and I'm going to try to find my way to buy and target and trade for Martellus Bennett in this offense at tight end.
Yeah, and look, I know some people probably took Bennett while also taking Gronk, which, hey, that looks like a genius move right now. All right, let's talk about another stud who, you know, there's a lot of talk about this player not doing well, but I feel like it's a little deceptive. Odell Beckham, obviously in the news for the whole "I'm not having fun anymore" comment, obviously did not have a great game against Minnesota this past week, but Dan, you're our resident Giants expert. I mean, I don't think it's time to worry about Beckham yet, right?
No, this is the most overblown narrative right now in football and fantasy football. We're talking about a guy, first of all, just to go back to the football part for a second, who never had a single issue until last year in the Carolina game, and who consistently his teammates today and the day before that, for almost the most part, except for a few quotes that have been taken out of context, have defended him. Eli Manning came out and defended him today, Justin Pugh, the list goes on. And now back to the fantasy football side of this. Through four games in 2015, Beckham had 24 receptions for 307 yards, two touchdowns. Through four games in 2016, he has 22 receptions for 303 yards and zero touchdowns. So his stats are almost exactly the same, except for he doesn't have he has zero touchdowns this year. He's also still been targeted the 10th most out of any receiver in the NFL. That's after being targeted the 7th most last season, and he was suspended for a game. And really, just let's look at it. The Vikings are a tough matchup. I mean, this is as close to as close to as elite defense as we have this year. It's not the Broncos this year. The best defense in football is the Minnesota Vikings, and they now have a shutdown cornerback. Nathan Jonkey, Pro Football Focus's Nathan Jonkey, tweeted this out today. Xavier Rhodes has been targeted this season. When he's been targeted, he's allowed an NFL passer rating of 0.0. That's 3 for 10 targets have been caught on him for 23 yards, no touchdowns, one interception, and one pass defense. He completely took Beckham out of the game and the entire Giants offense, which is a whole nother issue, which you actually touched upon last week when we were discussing the Green Bay offense, which is a similar offense. It's a horizontal offense, and they need to fix some things and get the ball moving down the field again. But the fact of the matter is, it was a tough matchup for Beckham. He still saw 9 targets. He's still being targeted a lot. And I think the breakout's coming. And I don't want to steal Brandon's thunder because I did look ahead on our worksheet and I saw she actually has Beckham as a preferred daily play this week. So I'm going to let her drop some nuggets and stats later. But I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you can somehow find somebody in your league that's willing to trade you Odell Beckham and is not looking for a wide receiver one or running back one in return, go ahead and do that right away.
All right. Well, yeah, and look, they're playing Green Bay this week, and the Packers, fun fact, have the 4th worst pass defense in the league. So, yeah, I mean, and I think it's probably similar, and, you know, we talked about this in the preseason. It's sort of the Mike Evans symptom where, hey, you're still producing receptions and yards-wise, but the touchdowns aren't there, so the fantasy scoring's off a little bit, right? So Mike Evans had 75 catches, 1,200 yards last year, but only 3 touchdowns. So that threw a lot of people off to say, oh, it was a disappointment. But it wasn't really. He just didn't catch as many touchdowns. And same thing with Beckham. He's still on pace for 88 catches this year. You know, it's not – and 1,200 yards. It's not like, oh, he suddenly is not on the wide receiver one radar. It's just the touchdowns. But
touchdowns are an issue for the Giants in general this year. They've yet to score over 27 points in a matchup.
Right.
So, you know, I mean – yeah. Even when they win with 16 points against New Orleans, for crying out loud. I mean, this isn't just an Odell Beckham Jr. problem. Also, I think that we underestimate the difference that that not having Tom Coughlin anymore is. I mean, they used to be one of the steadiest, you know, it's a completely different year for them. And I know that we're all about stats here, and I don't want to get too touchy-feely about this, but I think there is something to be said for this team being a little bit more in transition than perhaps we thought they were at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you're 100% right. You just look at one key stat. The Giants last year and pretty much every year under Coughlin were bottom 5 in penalties. This year, they're 6th. They have the 6th most penalties. I mean, like, that's one key difference. They're not as disciplined. And that's going to lead to a lot of punts and stalled drives.
Yeah. All right. That will do it for the news and notes section of this episode. When we come back, we will get to our studs and duds for week 5.
This is Chris Collinsworth. Be sure to check out the PFF College podcast, as our experts provide insight on all the league's top stories. Every game, every player, every play. Download and subscribe on iTunes or your favorite provider.
All right, welcome back. Quick score update. Dan, where are we?
So Rivera just hit a double. It's a no out, 0-0, bottom 5, and the Mets are threatening right now.
Oh, Lord. So, yeah, if you you very well could hear Dan shriek out at some point. And if you do, he's okay. He's fine. He's just watching the Mets game.
You also might hear my dog snoring, and I apologize.
I mean, it's an exciting game. It's not, you know, it's not.
My dog is not as amused. Although when I turn on the sports option on my television, she loves it because the lights are all bright.
Oh yeah, and there's a lot of movement and people, shaking
just
around.
Like, whoa. There you go. But right now, I don't have that on. I have it on mute.
Fair enough. Okay.
Fair enough.
All right. So let's get to it. Studs and duds for week five. Who we should play? Who we should sit? Let's start with the quarterbacks. Brandon, you wanted to talk about Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes, I do. I do. He's going up against the New York Jets. Andy Dalton, Tyrod Taylor, and Russell Wilson all scored 17 or more fantasy points in standard scoring against this defense. Taylor and Wilson both scored 3 passing touchdowns apiece. They're not exactly known as passing touchdown guys, so that's pretty intense. Darrelle Revis has a hamstring injury, could get up early and run. I guess that's probably the risk here. But we saw on Sunday night, they don't mind running up the score. I think they're trying to give their team confidence. I think that Ben Roethlisberger is going to be all over it. And you know what? I'm the only one on the site who ranked Ben Roethlisberger as the number one quarterback of the week.
Ooh, hot take.
Hot take.
And look, the Jets, 1, 2, 3, 4, are the 7th or 8th worst pass defense. So it's a pretty simple equation there. Dan, you wanted to mention Carson Wentz, who, on a personal note, I've been referring people to Carson Wentz for, I don't know, a couple weeks now. I think he's great. But tell us why he's so great, Dan.
Yeah, and I almost did go with Roethlisberger, but to me, I always get a little bit worried about teams like the Jets that do have an amazing pass rush, obviously a terrible secondary. But I like to target my quarterback matchups for the week and my best matchups, I look for the worst pass rushers. And the Lions currently rank as their number 32 pass rush overall in the NFL. At this point, I feel like the Lions are actually slowly and surely becoming the Saints of 2015/2016, since the Saints never change. So we're not only talking about the 32nd worst, 32nd overall pass rush, they also are 28th in pass coverage. And just in case you worried about maybe the Lions shutting down the run, forcing the Eagles to use a one-dimensional and predictable attack, you'll be happy to know the Lions have the 31st ranked run defense. So this is a team that really can't do much on defense without Ziggy Ansah. They're even worse than you can imagine. Wentz, of course, this the pace of this game, as Pat Thorman actually pointed out in his article earlier this week, may be down a little bit, but I don't think it's going to be too much of a concern because it's going to be a really efficient day for Wentz. I think we're going to see 3 touchdowns, maybe only 250 yards, but that's enough to be one of the top quarterbacks of the week. I love Wentz this week.
All right, and then you had a sneaky play at quarterback this week, right?
Yeah, I think that Ryan Tannehill is a sneaky play. We're back with Tanny. I think that there's a few.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, Dan.
I am, because I think there's a few.
He's just taunting me. Taunting, throwing the flag.
Well, I think there's a few things we got to focus on here. So, number one.
His turnovers?
Yes.
Yeah, number can we pause on that?
Number one, Tannehill's going to have super, super low ownership in DFS because everybody saw how pathetic he and the entire Dolphins offense looked on Thursday Night Football in front of national audience. But let's keep in mind that he's now on 10 days rest. He's now back at home. And as Pat Thorman also pointed out in his article, and I love Thorman's snaps, pace, and stats article, and I'm going to keep referencing it till my death because it's how I start every week before I prepare for fantasy football. In that article, he noted that the Dolphins and Tannehill like to use a lot more no huddle at home. And that's going to be key because it's going to give them more snaps. And he's also has better stats in the no huddle. Again, 2 weeks ago, and when he was at home, this was just 2 weeks ago, before this debacle on Thursday night, he threw for 319 yards, 3 touchdowns against a crappy Browns defense. Now he gets another crappy Titans defense. The scenario is the same for the Titans. They just matched up with another quarterback coming off 10 days rest and an awful Thursday Night Football performance, Brock Osweiler, who put up like 254 and 2 touchdowns really quickly in that game. So I think that, again, the matchup is there. Tannehill's back at home, and the pace will be on his side.
But you didn't mention that against that crappy Cleveland defense, he also threw 2 interceptions and committed a fumble. He lost a fumble, too. 3 turnovers against the Browns. Who does that?
I will say this, and I can't believe I'm defending Tannehill / Dan, but the 2 defenses he did poorly against are top 10 pass defenses in Cincinnati and Seattle. The 2 that he did well on and threw for 300 yards, New England, and who was the other one? It was New England and
Cleveland.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Cleveland. Middle of the pack pass defenses. So, look, Tennessee, also not a great pass defense. So, I might slightly side with Dan on this one, Brandon.
It's just my bias. I'll admit it.
But I don't feel good about it. Like, I feel dirty saying it, but that it is what it is. So.
No, that's fine.
But all right, well, let's get to some duds at quarterback, and let's get really dirty with this. So, Brandon, you want to start us off with Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I do. Also, I did want to say about this, about turnovers. Know your league settings. I know some leagues that have very like high penalties for turnovers. If that's the case, you can't go with one of these Ryan Tannehills. But if you're one that like, I have some leagues that they only take 1 point away for turnovers. It's just nuts. So then of course, then get Ryan Tannehill all you need. Cause if he's going to get 300 yards and 2 touchdowns, and it's a great game regardless. He could also get a bonus depending on the league. Just know your league settings, I think, is always the mantra here on Pro Football Focus. Cause that's a big time issue. Matthew Stafford has had kind of an up and down season. Certainly Marvin Jones has been fantastic. I just want to say that Philadelphia gets up the absolute fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks and has allowed 0 passing touchdowns on the season. Now, they have had a bye week, so it's only been 3 games, but still, 0 is a pretty solid number. And so I just want to make sure that we're all aware of that, or rushing, frankly. It's a very weird thing. Okay, Griffin, Cutler, and Roethlisberger all threw an interception. And you know what? Matthew Stafford was magic in Indianapolis, threw for 3 touchdowns in week 1. But over the last 3 games, he's thrown 4 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. So I don't want to say that it's over, but I am going to say against Philadelphia, I think Philadelphia and Denver are very close to that Minnesota tier that we're talking about, where I just would prefer not to start people if possible.
Okay. Dan, you wanted to mention Matt Ryan, who has had a very good year so far, but you're saying you may want to avoid him this week.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of idiot wants to bench fantasy's QB1 overall in fantasy points? That idiot is me.
That is the hottest take you can get, Dan.
I'm that idiot. Yeah, I would bench him. I don't think I'd play him in any league, especially when you have matchups like Brian Hoyer against the Colts, and Tanny, as I talked about before, against the Titans. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's going up against the 4th best pass rush in the NFL, the Broncos, the 5th best pass coverage team. We're also talking about somebody who hasn't faced a good defense yet. I'm sorry, the Carolina Panthers are not the Carolina Panthers of 2015. Not only have they lost Norman, for some reason they can't seem to get any kind of edge rush anymore. And their interior guys, like Kwon Short, I don't know what's up with him, but he's not getting the same kind of interior pressure anymore either. That was a defense that got no pressure last week, and their corners are super burnable on the outside. So that doesn't prove to me Ryan's matchup proof yet. This is the first tough matchup of the year, and I think the Broncos will keep him limited the entire game.
Okay. Well, speaking of that game, let's move on to running backs. Brandon, you had wanted to talk about C.J. Anderson for the Broncos being a stud at running back.
Yeah. I did want to say that we had breaking news that my phone talked to me about. I apologize. But Latavius Murray is doubtful this weekend. So,
great. Yeah. So they can only rotate 2 running backs now instead of 3.
Yeah. But about Latavius Murray, though. Latavius Murray, Charles Sims, and Mark Ingram and John Kuhn all scored touchdowns on Atlanta. As good as Atlanta's defense or offense is, it's just as easy to score on them, especially the running back position. So, he's averaging 18.25 carries per game. He scored in 3 of his 4 outings. And the only time he didn't score was against Cincinnati. And that was the game that they had those 4 passing touchdowns and Trevor Siemian went crazy. It was just a completely different game. So that's not really his fault. It was just the way that, everything went down. So, yeah, I think with Trevor Siemian's injury, even though I think that he will be on the field, I think they will want to lean on the run so that they don't overdo it. And C.J. Anderson all day, every day. I'm putting him in DFS. I'm putting him everywhere.
Okay. Dan, you had wanted to talk about a very popular waiver wire pick maybe last week, Jordan Howard. Good game last week, but it looks like he could probably do that again.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Howard, obviously somebody who I mentioned on this podcast a long time ago before the breakout. I'm going to stick to that claim to fame because I'm sure I'm going to have my misses very soon, like that ridiculous Matt Ryan call. So I got to take my things when I can get them. Last week he totaled 132 yards on 26 touches. That's pretty unbelievable. And John Fox said after the game, we're going to ride this guy and basically until he proves that we shouldn't. And the Bears match up against a Colts defense that is one of the worst in the NFL at stopping the run. And I could literally have pulled this line out of my out of my you-know-what the past two seasons of 2015 and 2014 because this Colts run defense has been bad for so long. I don't understand what they're doing there. They don't invest in the defensive line. Last week, a Jaguars run offense that basically entered week four left for dead. The offensive line couldn't generate any push at all. The backs were contacted at or behind the line of scrimmage more than any other team. Oh, what did they do? They turned around and TJ Yeldon broke out for 71 yards on just 14 carries. They also totaled 136 yards. A rushing touchdown on just 29 carries. And the Colts missed six tackles against Jaguars running backs. So all those things to me add up to another big game for Jordan Howard.
I'm going to throw one name out there, and I'm just going to get filleted for this. But Washington is giving up an average of two rushing touchdowns a game. They're at the Baltimore Ravens this week, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Terrence West might be an intriguing option this week.
I wrote about him in DFS bargains. I wrote about him everywhere. I love him. I don't think you're crazy at all.
I mean, yes, Kenneth Dixon's a popular name, but they're not going to give him 25 carries his first game out. They're going to work him in. And look, Terrence West had a good game last week, and he's playing a very bad run defense. So if you're looking for a cheaper option or you've got a guy that you're on the fence about, I think you could probably go with him. So, all right, let's go with our duds at running back. Brandon, you wanted to talk about Eddie Lacy with the New York Giants, or against the New York Giants, I should say.
Yeah, again, you know, I remember Eddie Lacy was one of those guys that when I was writing about him in the preseason, I just felt kind of sick to my stomach, you know? It was just like, I know I should tell you.
Didn't you? We all did.
You know, and not like that, but I wish they would stop talking about his weight on television. A, he hasn't lost that much weight. I don't want to be an asshole, but it just hasn't happened. And B, it's just, it's body shaming and weird. And just, listen, if they're still playing him, they're still playing him. And just, ugh, I don't like any of it. But both Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata scored touchdowns on Monday Night Football. But before that, only Ezekiel Elliott had scored against them and against the Giants. And that was in week one. And they only allow 3.2 yards per carry. In good news, Lacy is getting some volume with 12 or more carries in his first 3 weeks of the season, but he's yet to score. So I don't know. I don't think this is his week to do that. I don't like what's going on there. And again, I think that Green Bay is just a pass-first offense. I just don't even know what else to say about them other than the ish.
Well, a couple things on Lacy, because I've looked into him too, because I have him in a couple leagues, and I was wondering myself, why are you sucking, Eddie Lacy? And if you look at his carries his last 3 years, they've actually gone down quite a bit. So he had his rookie year in 2013, 284 carries. Sophomore season, 246. Last season, 187. And yeah, you said he has at least 12 carries in each game this year, but he also has no more than 17 any game this year. I mean, the volume just isn't there for him. It just isn't. And with the Packers, I agree with you. They're pass first, but this year they've also ran the third least amount of plays offensively on the season with just 58 per game. So between that and obviously they're going to utilize Rodgers more than Lacy, it's just not a good combo for Lacy, whether it's this week or beyond this week.
And again, you know, they had a tougher schedule. I mean, playing against the Minnesota Vikings when everyone freaked out and thought Aaron Rodgers' arm fell off. And I was like, no, the Vikings are just that good. I'm glad that proved to be true on national television so people could just chill out. But, you know, there are a couple factors in there, but I still think this is not the week that he's going to bounce back. I think you're going to be very frustrated.
Yeah. Dan, you wanted to mention Matt Jones as a dud, which pains me because I've been proud of Matt Jones the last couple weeks. He's been competent, surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably another contrarian call. Matt Jones had 138 yards, a touchdown last week. So yeah, let's go and consider him an every week RB2, right? Wrong, actually, because he draws the Ravens run defense this week, which all of a sudden is an elite run defense. The Ravens rank as our number one overall run defense this year. Tammy Jernigan has emerged as pretty much an elite run defender. And actually, Eric Weddle has seemed to completely revamp this Ravens defense overall. So Weddle is currently ranked as our number one safety. He's the fourth best against the run. And we're talking about somebody who came over this offseason has really changed that secondary and really changed the impact on the run game. So I'm not going to go ahead and start Jones in the toughest matchup he's going to face all season, in my opinion. I'm going to say that he's probably not at that level of efficiency yet. I understand he tore it up against the Browns. I also understand that the Browns are not a good defense. So I'm going to look back the week before against the Giants, and he had 65 yards rushing on 17 carries. I mean, that's not something Brandon just talked about the Giants' run defense, and the Ravens' run defense is even better than them. So to me, I'm not going to make that mistake. I'm going to keep Jones on my bench if I owned him.
Okay. Let's move on to some receiver studs and duds. We talked about him earlier. Brandon, tell us why you should go with Odell Beckham this week.
Well, you know, Green Bay as the 29th ranked secondary has allowed the third most points to opposing wide receivers. Marvin Jones hung 205 yards and 2 touchdowns on them in week 3. Stephon Diggs put up 182 yards and also scored in week 2. Both Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson put up 70 plus yards apiece, and that was while their offense was struggling mightily. So I just think that this is the perfect game for Odell Beckham Jr. to get his groove back. You know, we've talked a lot about what's going on, you know, the Clay Matthews injury, Demarius Randall's limited. You know, they're Sam Shields. Just the injuries are just piling up for Green Bay. I feel bad almost saying to start someone against them because it feels like, you know, beating up on someone who's already down. But I do want to say, Odell Beckham Jr. is not having fun playing football right now because he's frankly being bullied. I mean, I don't want to be sensitive, but like every week he goes out there and a cornerback is literally just trying to get in his head and saying horrible things to him over and over and over again. And then he goes to the press and the press is all about how emotional he is. And then there's a gif going on right now where, you know, his head's getting smacked with a net. He's not having fun at life right now. So maybe we should just all take a quick deep breath and hope that he can bounce back this week. I would rather bank on him bouncing back than him being a complete failure. When you look at the stats, when you look at the situation, I think there's a lot going on. Also, you know, frankly, I don't like how they're using him. They need to use him in the slot more. That's where he was very successful last year. Matchups that he had just a huge favorable, you know, kind of thing going on. And they just haven't done that because they have Sterling Shepard there. I think they're going to start mixing it up a little bit. They have to get Odell Beckham Jr.'s confidence up. They need to get him more involved because that's how they win football games. I understand that it's cool to put down celebrities because I think it makes us all feel better, but I'm not going to partake. And in fact, I'm going to invest.
There you go. Dan, you had mentioned Ryan Tannehill as a sneaky quarterback play. So, of course, you have Devontae Parker as a sneaky play receiver. So tell us why.
Sure. I mean, Devontae Parker gets the gift that keeps on giving, Parrish Cox this week, Titans cornerback Parrish Cox, currently ranked 113 out of 114 quarterbacks on Pro Football Focus. He may not get him every snap, but he's going to get him a lot of snaps on the outside because that's what he did last week, Cox. He defended against Will Fuller, the Texans' second wide receiver, number two receiver, and he allowed a touchdown, seven of nine targets to be caught for 81 yards. That's the stat line for Fuller. I think we can look for something similar with Parker. This is honestly the worst starting cornerback in the NFL. I'm not afraid to say it. It's the truth. The numbers don't lie. He shouldn't be starting. He won't be starting. He's going to get benched at some point this season, in my opinion. And maybe it comes this week after Parker, you know, works him.
All right, let's go to some duds at receiver. Dan, you wanted to talk about Tyrell Williams out of the Chargers.
Yeah, the way I see it with Williams is he's a bigger receiver. You know, he's kind of being used less in that Malcolm Floyd role because they're kind of using Travis Benjamin in that role, even though he doesn't have the same height as Floyd did. And Tyrell Williams has kind of been used in that same role as Keenan Allen in a sense, obviously not with the same kind of volume. And I think he's going to draw a lot of targets against David Amerson this week. And the Raiders cornerback David Amerson is currently our number one graded cornerback in pass coverage this season, and he does well against the bigger receivers. The speedsters can get by him. He's not the fastest cornerback, but he's super good technique. He's big and he's physical. I think he's going to take Williams out of the game.
Yeah, and you know, just in general, the Chargers receivers, they're just spreading it around. There's no one guy that's sort of taking charge of that role in place of Keenan Allen. So it's a guessing game on who's going to be the leading receiver for them from week to week. Brandon, you wanted to mention DeAndre Hopkins, who has not had the best start to the year.
No, and I think this will be another rough matchup. My apologies, DeAndre Hopkins fans. You know, he's at Minnesota, Xavier Rhodes. We saw what happened there. But in general, every single member of this Minnesota defense is participating in these wins over and over again. And so I guess I don't see a world where this is going to end well. But I will say, the good news is that Will Fuller is now on tape, right? So, and he has to be defended. And at some point, these defenses are going to have to stop blanketing DeAndre Hopkins, and they're going to have to respect Will Fuller. They're going to have to defend against him, because right now that's how that's the whole Texans offense, basically. Don't even look at Lamar Miller's numbers. Don't do it. You'll get depressed. So, you know, when you look at what's going on with this offense, the good days are coming. I don't think it's this week. If you have a frustrated DeAndre Hopkins owner out there, though, this might be the week to get him. I think that people are getting very feisty, especially because Will Fuller's producing. Again, this is not going to continue the whole season. I think Will Fuller's incredibly talented. But once DeAndre Hopkins perhaps gets into a man-to-man kind of, you know, coverage opportunity, or if he's open even at all, his talent is still there. That is not in question. So I just want to reemphasize that. And that was my kind of my big takeaway about this particular game.
All right, let's round this out with some tight ends, studs and duds. And actually, you two have the same stud, Zach Ertz, which honestly, I would have picked Zach Ertz too, because I don't understand people not loving Zach Ertz. He's awesome. And I had you guys probably had it too. So many people were like, oh, but he's injured. Should I trade him? Should I drop him? I'm like, no, do not drop him. He's going to be really good. So, Brandon, why don't you kick us off?
Well, the Lions have already given up 6 touchdowns to tight ends on the season. To tight ends only. That's insane. That's like bonkers. 6-4 games. That's outrageous. So why wouldn't Zach Ertz score a touchdown? The only thing you need to do is obviously watch the health, but it sounds like he's A-okay. Also A-okay, though, Ryan Matthews. I think that, you know, frenzy of, oh no, what happened to Ryan Matthews, was way overblown. He was hurt. I think that's clear. I think it is a little bit of a committee situation, but I don't think it's as dire as what people think. And certainly, you know, I would start him this week against Detroit. I mean, I'm probably starting everyone from Philadelphia against Detroit. Wentz, Ertz, Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews is actually cheaper now because people thought he was going to fail at life and be injured for a long time. Not so. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, what else can you say? Zach Ertz, absolutely.
Dan, anything to add to that? Or did Brandon cover all of our bases there?
I think Brandon hit that one on the spot.
All right. Well, why don't you finish us out with a dud at tight end this week, Dan?
You know what? I actually don't have too many duds. I think the tight end class, the tight end position to me isn't really ripe for duds. I think there's a lot of players who are week to week change as far as fantasy points go. So, I mean, if push comes to shove, you can probably count me out as taking some, count me out for anyone like Matt Ryan's tight end, for example, Jacob Tammy. I'm just kind of play the matchups and not take the tight ends facing the best defenses.
Yeah, and look, I think we've talked about it on this podcast before. The tight end position has just been very weird this year. You know, hadn't been a whole lot of guys that have really run away with it, and it seems like every tight end is a streamer option every single week. So just take your chances on that. Dan, before we head out, what's the score update?
So we're still at 0-0. Noah Syndergaard's pitching a gem, but so is Madison Bumgarner. I think this one's going to come down to the wire, maybe the bullpens. The Mets had a double. That was probably the only extra base hit of the game so far. So that's where we're at.
Look, as long as the managers use their best pitchers to keep extending that game unlike last night, then we'll...
Ooh, Zach Britton.
That's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
That was devastating.
Are either of you by any chance Wire fans of the show The Wire?
You know, I have to watch that. I know it's good. I know it's great, but I have not yet.
So there's a famous line in The Wire where D'Angelo, a character, D'Angelo Barksdale, goes to one of the crime bosses, Stringer Bell, and he goes, "Where's Wallace, String? Where's Wallace?" Because Stringer decided to kill basically a kid who was working for them. They thought might flip. And so last night, the creator of The Wire just tweeted out, "Where's Britton? Where's Britton?" to the manager, and it was awesome.
It's unfortunate because, and look, just like you were talking about with refs, it's one of those things that is seemingly avoidable, but yes, it still happens. So,
yep.
Anyway, and unfortunate.
The hell out of you as a fan.
Well, and our condolences to all of you Oriole fans out there, yeah. But hopefully you'll have better luck in week 5 for your fantasy teams. For Brandon, Marion Lee, and Dan Schneier, I'm Michael Moore, and we'll see you next time on the Fantasy Slam.